Wonderful introduction, Megan.
Are you on James?
No, I'm totally kidding. Hey, everybody. As Megan said, I am Rena. And yeah, thank you guys so much for sharing an open mic. And Bethany, thanks so much for sharing your story. I think it takes a lot of courage to come on Thursday night and share your life story. And so I really respect and appreciate everyone who does that. So thanks so much. We have been going through this series called Living as Digital Exiles, where we've really been discussing how we can follow Jesus as exiles in this digital Babylon, as James coined, that we find ourselves in. We've had speakers talk about all sorts of things, how to use the Bible as a roadmap to our lives, how to have cultural discernment. We talked about our mental health and restoring our love for Christ. And tonight I'm going to close up our series with discussing this cultural issue of entitlement and how curbing it can help us have resilient faith while we're here in exile. So I think we should start with just explaining what entitlement is and giving some examples. So entitlement is the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. This is the attitude about what I deserve, what I'm owed, what I'm entitled to. And in our culture, we get fed this you deserve it mentality all the time. We are told that we deserve things in life. Lots of things are marketed to us saying that, we deserve fancy vacations or a new home. And entitlement is birthed from thinking that our blessings or things that we're given as a privilege are actually things that we're owed. It's this me trait. And as I was preparing this message, I really began to dig into entitlement and what it was and how it impacts our faith. And I started to wonder where this issue showed up in my life. But the more and more I looked into it, I'm fully convinced that this is an issue that we're easily blinded to and can so often not recognize in ourselves because it's such a cultural norm. And I feel like our culture kind of feeds us this mentality. However, I believe that if entitlement isn't addressed, it can really impact our faith and our relationships in such a big way. So let me start with some examples of entitlement, and you can let me know if you relate to any of these. I'll start off with kind of a story. I don't know if any of you guys saw in Castanet recently of this good old Karen going up to Lush and demanding her right into the store because it was her right. She didn't have a mask and refused to wear one, but demanded her way into Lush and thought she was in the right. So she started filming herself saying that the employees were in the wrong. It was, public property. She had a right to be there. And then she went and posted it online for all to see. And so this Karen is our classic example. And when we think of entitlement, we think of things like that. But maybe more seriously, on a note that maybe we'd relate with, here are some other examples of entitlement. I applied for that job I really wanted, but someone who is less qualified than me got it. How do you feel? I'm such a hard worker. I work my butt off on my term paper, but I don't understand why I don't get straight A's. Billy doesn't even show up for class, so I really deserve to get better grades than him. I'm the star student in my class. I really get the best grades. So I know when I submit my term paper 5 minutes late, my prof will totally accept it. Sally didn't answer my text messages all day, but I saw that she was posting on her Snapchat story. So she obviously saw it and chose not to reply. So you know what? I'm just like not gonna talk to her ever again. My parents decided to stop paying my tuition this year and told me to get a job, and that's not fair. We shouldn't have to pay for parking at the university we attend. I've said this. I get the same grades as Joe in my econ class, but the prof only ever recognizes his accomplishments. But how about some spiritual entitlements? Have any of us said these things? I serve my butt off at church, and I never get recognized for it. I think I deserve to be thanked for my hard work and sacrifice. Literally 2 days ago, that's true, Ella. I did say that a couple days ago. God, why haven't I felt your presence with me in months? Haven't I been faithful and constant in my devotions? I don't want to attend this church anymore because, you know, they're just not giving me what I need. I'm just not being fed. I deserve to be fed well where I'm going to church. God, I've been following my whole life. I've been faithful and I'm not successful, but Joe over here who doesn't even serve you makes bank. Don't I deserve to not be struggling financially? And this one I'm very guilty of. So I'm saying examples that I also struggle with. You know, we deserve to have in-person club meetings because every other UCM gets to. And that is also entitlement. And I think if we look at some of these examples, there's kind of a key thread. If you're trying to figure out where in your life that you're feeling entitled, you could start to ask yourself where you're starting to feel discontent or ungrateful. And some of these examples may seem silly or like small or insignificant, especially when you put it up to the world standards and, you know, we kind of normalize it. But we already know that we're living as exiles in this culture. And if we want to have resilient faith here on earth, then we need to curb this attitude of entitlement. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to dive into our text for tonight, which is going to be in Matthew 20. So while I pray, you could find that. Jesus, thank you so much for the fact that we get to gather tonight. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds and just begin to speak to us about where entitlement is in our lives, as I know you've already done for me. So Lord, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to try to put this in the chat, but yeah, I think my passage is too long for it to actually go in all the way. So it only uploaded like 9 verses, but if you guys want to find it, you can either have your Bible or look it up on your phone. It's Matthew 21 to 16. For some reason it won't paste the whole thing, but, this is a parable that Jesus tells. And if you're not familiar with a parable is basically a story that often Jesus tells when he's trying to explain an issue or anything else. Jesus often did use parables to explain things. And thanks, Victor. I think you just posted the passage in the chat. So I'm just going to start off. So in verse 1, Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. And the landowner in this story is considered God for the sake of the parable. Yeah. He went out early. And just so you guys know, there wasn't really a concept of an 8-hour day. So people usually worked from like sunrise to sundown, 12 hours a day was normal, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So this landowner went out in the morning to hire workers in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which a denarius is a normal day's wage for all day workers, which would have been probably a little bit above minimum wage for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. So noted, they agreed to this wage. They said a denarius would be great. They agreed to that and went on their way. And at about 9, which is 3 hours later in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. Note, there's a non-specific agreement here. They didn't agree to anything. He went out again at about noon and about 3, so 2 other times in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, so the workday was almost done, only an hour left, he went out and found still others standing around. He said to them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they said. So he said to them, "You go and work in my vineyard." Now there's this pack of guys all together, probably sweating all day, super tired. And this landowner just keeps bringing people in to work up into the last hour of the day. I could only imagine how that would feel. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, bringing with the last ones hired and going to the first." And note, the only people who knew what they were getting paid were the 6 a.m. folk. The workers that were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So picture this. You would assume that those who worked only a fifth of the time, these people only worked an hour, that they would get paid less. or those in line were probably, you know, looking around, people talk. And so the people in the back of the line would have heard that the people in the front were getting a denarius, like what they were promised. So, you know, you discover what they're getting paid. And so you're assuming that since they got paid a denarius, you know, I must be getting paid way more. And this is kind of where development is starting in them. So I go on. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. So they were convinced they would receive more. The guys who started at 5 p.m. got a denarius. I must be getting more. And each one of them started to think that they deserved more entitlement. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble or become indignant or angry towards this landowner because they felt entitled. Who kept his end of the deal, by the way? And those who were hired last worked only 1 hour. They said, "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Oh, so we're going to pause there. So these people are saying, there's a problem here. God, you know, you're not giving us what we deserve. You know, this landowner, you're not giving us what we deserve. And entitlement is truly stemmed from what we think we deserve. Whenever we have expectations about what we deserve and they're not met, it really exposes this entitlement attitude in us, as we can see in this parable. And so we're going to pause and answer this question. Okay, we know what entitlement is. We've talked about some examples, but what does entitlement do to our faith? Well, I believe entitlement causes us to think we deserve more than we do from people and from God. Entitlement causes us to think we deserve more than we do. Our scripture says that these workers expected to receive more than they were promised. And, you know, in our culture, we would say that these workers who started at 6 a.m. totally deserve more than those who started at 5. And in fact, I would probably feel the same kind of entitlement. And I feel like most people would. However, the landowner, being God in this story, gave them exactly what he had promised. And it wasn't until they found out how much the other people got that it actually started to begin to brew this entitlement. And in result, made them angry and bitter at God for not getting what they think they deserve. And you know, these men didn't even have a job before the landowner asked them to work for him. So our culture would say in this parable, yeah, we deserve to expect more money than the guys who didn't work as hard or as long. But as exiles in this world that we are in, we need to align our expectations, not with what the culture tells us we deserve, but with what God and his word say that we deserve. And when we look at the Bible in Romans, it says that all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you tell me, what does the Bible tell us we deserve? Death, judgment. But thank God that he doesn't give us what we deserve. What God gives us is so much better than what the world thinks is fair. We need to base our expectations on what the Bible says and not just what we think we deserve, because we truly deserve nothing from God. And I think our experiences really shape this entitlement in us. What we've been given in life shapes how we act and what we expect from people. God freely gives us grace. And so I think sometimes as Christians, we actually start to expect it. And, you know, as Christians, we can believe for some reason that God owes us something, that for some reason we're entitled to get what we want from him. We think that we have the right to abundance or comfort or an easy life. You know, if we grew up with a TV, a car, cell phones, and a good house with a good family, we really begin to think that we're actually, those are our rights. Like we're owed those things, like we deserve those things. And we often get this idea of our blessings and things that God has given us and this grace that he's given us. We confuse that with what we deserve. And so entitlement really truly affects our faith when we start to feel like we're entitled to things from God. And so we can see what it does to our faith. Now let's talk about how we can curb it, because we don't want to just leave it there. Like, yes, entitlement sucks. We know that, but we really want to move past that, right? We want to know a solution. So we're going to continue with the last few verses here in the parable. But he answered one of them, "Am I not being unfair to you, friend? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go." So the reality here is that the landowner was in the marketplace looking for people that everyone tried to ignore. He welcomed them in, surprising them with his grace. He goes on to say, I want to give the ones who were hired last the same I gave you. So God chooses. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the first will be last. So the last will be first and the first will be last. So how can we curb entitlement so that we have resilient faith in this digital exile we find ourselves in? Well, first, I think it starts with gratitude. Non-entitled people are way more grateful. And entitlement begins to fade in us when we start to be grateful for what we have. You see, if these workers thought about where they were before the landowner found them, stuck in the marketplace with nowhere to go, no job, no work, if they recognized the grace that had been given to them and chose gratitude instead, we might have seen a different heart response in them when the time came for their pay. And like I said earlier, you can recognize entitlement from what you're discontent with or ungrateful for a lot of the times. And how God responds in this parable is always how he's going to answer. It's always how he's going to answer, because we have never been wronged by God. But I think a lot of times we think he wrongs us, but he never has. We need to remember that everything good comes from God and that we should never be angry because of God's generosity or God's grace on people. God was saying, "Are you mad at me because I was nice to them?" And when you experience privilege, you know, you really start to expect it and feel entitled to the experiences we've had. I grew up in Canada with a home, had food on my table, good health. I have a car, good health care. I am so privileged, but those things that I have, I don't deserve. I'm not entitled to those things. So when we become grateful for our opportunities and we become grateful for these gifts that we've been given and these blessings, we won't get the two confused. We won't get these blessings and our rights confused. And the second thing we need to do to curb entitlement is to just begin to recognize it in ourselves and then also call it out in others. Jesus likely intended this parable as a warning to the disciples themselves about their own attitudes. The disciples who followed Jesus since the very beginning, you know, they were his first followers. They were beginning to grumble about people that he was allowing into the kingdom. And Jesus welcomes everybody in, and he often did that in his gospels. And, you know, they didn't like that because they had been faithful and they'd been following him forever. And they thought that they deserved better. Jesus had to call it out in them and say that even though they were with him since the beginning, it doesn't entitle them to more, and that they shouldn't be envious because he is generous with people. And, you know, because I think this is an issue that we're often blinded to, it's something that we need to be aware of in ourselves and other people. And so with grace and love, we need to be able to tell each other where we see entitlement develop in our lives, obviously with people you trust and in very kind ways. Because I think if we let it brew, it can really ruin relationships. And it's easier to see it in others than it is ourselves a lot of the time. We all have seen those entitled people and we know what it looks like. But we also have to ask Jesus where in our lives we're blinded to our entitlement. And in fact, I did this yesterday. I was chatting with Josh yesterday too. So I kind of verbally processed it all with him. And I just began to ask Jesus where in my life there was entitlement, because I honestly was like, I don't know if this is a big issue that I struggle with, you know, whatever. And then as I began to pray, like, boy, was I wrong. Like, if you ask Jesus to show you areas in your life that are not honoring to him, he'll show you, like, no problem. Like, he's not afraid to. And so God actually began to show me a few areas in my life where I felt entitled to things from him and from other people in my life. And I just needed to repent and change my mindset on some of the things that I was ungrateful or uncontent in. But I had to ask him to search my heart and show me. And I had to be ready to hear it. And I had to want to hear it from him. And I had to want to change that attitude. But I want to say the good news here, if we're to wrap this up in a bow, is that God doesn't treat us the way the world would treat us. And God's grace for us will never make sense, because God is never fair in the world's eyes. And we need to not feel like God's grace is something that we deserve, but rather a blessing. And to curb entitlement, we need to remember that we don't deserve his grace. But because he is a generous God, like the landowner is in this parable, he freely gives it to us without anything in return. And so God's grace for you is sufficient, and he gives it without any question. And he is generous. If you're the last one to his kingdom, you're getting that same blessing. And the good news is that God knows we're going to struggle with entitlement. And in fact, that's why Jesus talked about stuff like that. And God knows we're likely to confuse these things. And so he is so, so gracious with us and is wanting to correct these things in us. So I kind of want to, you know, conclude, and you'll discuss in your groups, but I want you guys to begin to ask yourself and maybe process this with Jesus, is where do you see entitlement in your life? And maybe for you, you feel entitled to God's grace. Maybe you feel entitled to get better opportunities in life than what you've been given. Or you feel the right to have a cozy life with no problems, or, you know, the list goes on of things that we totally feel entitled to. But yeah, I want you to begin to ask yourself, where in your heart are you feeling deserving of what you're not? And where do you need to invite Jesus into that? And imagine what our faith could look like in this digital exile if we were a movement that curbed entitlement. How much more resilient our faith would be. And so God is good. God loves us. He wants us to curb entitlement, but he has grace with us. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll go into our groups. And tonight your discussion leaders are going to offer up prayer and discussion. So we'll be able to process some of these things. So. Jesus, I thank you so much that your grace and your generosity is never ending. And like these workers in your vineyard, no matter when we started in the day, no matter when we turn to you, your grace is sufficient and you give us whatever is right. Thank you that you have never wronged us, and you always want our best intentions in mind. I just pray as we start to analyze ourselves and ask you this question of where we're seeing entitlement in our own lives, that you would be gracious and merciful with us, and that you would help us to change our mindsets to align more so with who you are. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.